Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
On April Fool's Day, WAAF DJs Opie and Anthony, who like to refer to themselves as demented, told their listeners Mayor Menino had been killed in a car accident. At the time it aired, the mayor's wife, Angela, thought her husband was in a car on the way to the airport, so she thought it was true. I caught up with the DJs outside their Westboro studios.
Yeah.
You think saying the mayor was dead was crossing the line, though?
I feel bad that the mayor's, you know, wife heard it. Who knew that the mayor's family is fans of the Opie and Anthony show?
Used to be.
Yeah. So we at every radio station now around this time gets a corporate email reminding people, hey, April Fool's pranks, they're totally outlawed. And so we were thinking during these weird quarantine show times, as we're just telling stories and there's no sports to talk about, maybe we can get to the bottom of why that is, and to kind of paint the picture of the weird times that we are in with Sports Talk Radio, we go from BJ Armstrong to Opie of the old Opie and Anthony show. You can still listen to him. He's got his Opie Radio podcast. You get that wherever podcasts are available. He's on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Opie, you're on in Chicago. McNeil and Parkins on the score. Thanks so much for the time, man.
Oh, hey, guys. Thanks for having me. First of all, you just played that old clip of me, and I sound like a real jerk.
Yeah, any regrets?
Like a real jerk. You live long enough, you come to the realization that you can't relate to your old self anymore. But I was like such a surfer dude back then. I was just such an idiot. Do I have regrets? I actually do, yeah. I now that I'm older and hopefully wiser and I'm a father of two, I don't know if I would have done that same stunt, nowadays, that's for sure.
Well, yeah, you ruined it for the rest of us, man. You guys got all the fun in back in the day with radio doing these insane pranks, and now no one's allowed to do any April Fool's Day pranks anymore.
I kind of feel bad, but radio needed to wake up at the time. I'm saying at the time. There were so many morning shows doing really hacky April Fool's pranks, and none of them were believable. And I was pacing my apartment that morning, and I'm like, what could we do today to really, blow up the whole April Fool's prank? And it came into my head, let's say that the mayor of Boston died in a fiery car accident. And I'm just saying that, I'm cringing, trust me. So I call up Anthony, and Anthony's half asleep. I go, hey, this is what we're doing today. We're going to say that the mayor of Boston died in a fiery car accident for April Fool's. And Anthony goes, yeah, whatever, oh, fine, I'll see you in a couple hours. He was barely awake. And then I remember, we looked at each other like, are we going to do this today? Are we going to do this? And I just said, F it, and announced it, and the rest is history.
Opie, my partner and I were walking to the parking garage, a month or so ago, and we were talking about our business, whether it's AM, FM, Sirius XM, whatever the case may be, podcast. And I made the comment to him, my young radio son, I said to Danny, Howard's the only MF-er out of all of us who won. Do you feel like you won in the radio game?
I don't know if I won. I just felt it needed some adrenaline. I don't know. I mean, that is a great question, because I know a lot of things changed after that prank. And then we go to New York and we get fired again for the whole Sex for Sam stunt that we did for 3 years in a row. And then after that, they really shut down radio because they increased the fines, the FCC fines and whatnot. So, but I think the time was right for just to blow up the whole thing. Unfortunately, you know, it hurt a lot of people that were still in the radio game.
Yeah, I can't imagine now that you've done all of those different mediums. I can't imagine you miss terrestrial radio very much.
I mean, I'm a guest on a lot of radio shows, and I enjoy it. I mean, I think it's obviously way more challenging, but I also think that the whole shock jock game is long gone. I mean, you got to remember when me and Anthony were pulling all those stunts. It was before we all were walking around with our heads in our phones. You know, you can't shock anybody on the radio anymore because you could see way worse on your phone. So I think there's going to be a resurgence with radio, believe it or not.
Based on what?
I can tell right now that McNeil, you're the radio vet, and you've been through a few wars, huh?
Yeah, I've been on the wrong end of a few of those letters from Human Resources. In fact, my agent recently gave me a stack of them because I'm starting to get ready to write the book. So that can cover a lot of territory right there. I've got to ask you about a 20-year relationship with Anthony,
sure.
And whether you do sports talk or general talk, salute, it's a unit of push and pull, and you spend so much time with your partner. To
yes.
What do you attribute being able to survive 20 years with two very combative, insistent, creative, probably very insecure people?
It was the money.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I'm not even joking. It was the money. I mean, me and Anthony, we started out, we were pretty close. We started at BAV on Long Island, and then we got the gig in Boston. And for the first two or three years, we were close, man. We were definitely friends, and, you know, we had the type of relationship that we talked all the time, even when we weren't on the air. And then by the time we came into New York, we were on a rocket ship. I mean, the first few months in New York, we weren't doing that great because they were making us play really crappy music. And it was my idea, me and Anthony, were driving home one day to Long Island and go, hey, this music is awful. So we decided to just, you know, blow up the music and just start talking. And next thing you know, the ratings ticked up a little bit and then a little more. And then it was just through the roof. And then they started syndicating us. And we pretty much stopped talking to each other off air in 2000. And we lasted another 14 years after that. But the, you know, the money was crazy, the fame was crazy, the syndication was crazy. It was just a complete runaway train.
You did a radio show with someone who you never spoke to off air for 14 years?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He would only call me if he had a problem with me. Like a real problem, you know what I mean, where he couldn't take it anymore, then he would call me. Okay. No, I could count. In 14 years, starting in 2000, we might have got on the phone a couple times a year, maybe. And we would try to, you know, hash out some of our problems and our issues. And then, you know, we would. And then we would think that it would go back to the old days. And then quickly it would just go back to where it was, which is just, if you think about it, it's insane because we had great chemistry when those mics were on. But as soon as we turned those mics off, we barely looked at each other and we barely talked to each other.
Let me take a shot at one of those phone calls might have been when he was not happy with you. You didn't laugh hard enough at a joke.
Not really. I mean, you know, Anthony was very funny, and you know, he's a talent. And no, I gave him more than you know. I made sure I laughed at everything that I thought was funny. So.
For a short period of time, I was a fan of the Maxwell Show when it was on the morning loop here in Chicago. Got a friend who worked on that show. I guess you guys had some wars with the Maxwell Show. What was that all about?
Honestly, at this point, I don't even know anymore. I mean, we had guys because we were kind of on the top that everyone would just start taking shots at us. And we were fighting so many battles with so many radio shows across America that I could honestly tell you I don't know what the Maxwell problem was at the time. I know he would try to beat us up and, you know, take shots at us, but me and Anthony's philosophy back then was, you know, you take a little shot at us, we're going to take a nuclear warhead right back at you. We didn't play fairly, that's for sure.
We're talking to Opie of the old Opie and Anthony show. He's got his podcast, the Opie Radio Podcast. When I was preparing, knowing that you were coming on, I was reminded that you guys did the pregame show for the XFL back in the day.
We were handpicked by Vince McMahon to do the pregame show on NBC for the XFL. And, man, were we in over our heads. Oh, God.
How? Why? I don't really have many vivid memories of that, but I cannot imagine. I know the league didn't last very long, but how did that go, and how did it fall apart?
Well, we were in very tightly with, at the time it was WWF, and then they obviously, you know, turned it to WWE, and we had all the wrestlers on, and McMahon loved us, and they're like, yeah, we have an idea. We'll just do this crazy, ridiculous pregame show, and we'll have Opie and Anthony, host the thing. And they want us to do it live at the Hard Rock Cafe. We didn't know anything about the players, and they were forcing us to interview guys that we didn't care about, because if they were good enough, they would have been in the NFL, obviously, and we knew that. So we were trying to do our dumb bits and, you know, with girls and this and that. And so our fans would come, they would get hammered before we came on stage as they're trying to, you know, take this for NBC. And I went down to 30 Rock for an edit for the first pregame show. And the director's sitting there, like, man, how'd it go? You know, and actually, we thought we did pretty good live in front of everybody at the Hard Rock Cafe. He goes, we can't use any of this. I'm like, why? And he goes, I'll show you. So there were monitors on the side while me and Anthony were on stage. And our fans were taking their thumb and index finger and making, I got to be careful because this is regular radio. They were making believe, they were lining up their index finger and their thumb and looking at the monitor, so it's lining up with our packages, let's just say.
Yeah.
And they were minting like they were, you know, doing something to us. And it was in every shot. So they had to, like, they had to edit this thing with just terrible angle shots just to get it on the air.
Yeah, I could see that not going so well.
I wish I could tell you something better, but it's regular radio. I don't want to get you guys in
trouble. It's
regular radio. That's where we're stranded, Danny, in the world of regular radio.
Hey, man, he's right. The Opie Radio Podcast, you can check it out for the uncensored version of the story. Listen, I know you're a New Yorker and you guys were huge in New York. You're out on Long Island right now, but it's kind of the epicenter of this coronavirus crisis in America. What can you tell us about what it's like in New York right now?
Sure. So I left New York 2 weeks ago, and I was just telling, you know, Chris, your producer there, that we don't see ourselves going back for a year. And I'm not even joking. I have two small kids. Their schools are pretty much shut down. They're going to be doing some of that online learning, which, you know, a lot of us are going to be doing with our kids. But about 2.5 weeks ago, they were still in school. And when that first case came out in Washington State, where they said the person had no contact with anybody from China, and they couldn't figure out how this person got the coronavirus, I looked at my wife and said, this virus has been in America way longer than they're telling us. And then the fear and the anxiety, you know, kicked in with me. And we made it to, like I said, about 2 weeks ago. And we packed up the car, and I'm lucky enough to, you know, have another house way out east on Long Island, and we just bailed. We just bailed out of the city. It is terrible there. The fear in New York City 2 weeks ago was really bad, and I can't even imagine how it is right now. So, that's
damn
where we're at, unfortunately. Yeah, how are you guys doing with this thing?
I mean, we were the second state to do the mandatory, you know, stay-at-home shutdown. The grade that Chicago and Illinois have been graded on for staying in place, apparently we're doing a good job at flattening the curve. But
yeah,
who the hell knows? You know what I mean? There's so many people here, and it's an international city just like New York is. So it seems like New York and the Bay Area are a little bit ahead of us, but there is still concern of medical overrun and all of that. So all of us are broadcasting from home if we can, and, you know, we're just kind of waiting and seeing. The idea of not going back for a full year is fairly terrifying. I don't think most people around here are there yet, but one of my best friends lives right in New York City, and he's painting a very similar picture as you are.
Yeah, I mean, the picture's coming out of New York. I'm from Long Island originally, but I live in New York City since 9/11, and to see Times Square with nobody there is just, I don't even think it was like that after 9/11 the first few days. It's just incredible. What's the fear in your heads when you leave your house? Like, I'm to the point where we don't even leave our house without a mask and gloves. And some people look at that as, like, that's ridiculous. But I just see, you know, people, and you just simply don't know who has this thing and who doesn't. And fair enough, you know, we can easily have it because we were, you know, in New York when this thing was first growing.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I have a newborn son who was born prematurely, and so he could be immunocompromised. So trust me, man, like, my anxiety is through the roof. I'm not taking masks because they, at least in this country, they're saying, you know, those masks need to go to the medical professionals, and they're not going to do anything for you if you're healthy, and they're not necessarily going to prevent you from getting it. I know people in Asian countries disagree with that. There's the jury's out on that, I guess, in some circles. But, yeah, concern. Yeah. Concern is the best way to describe it.
Oh, and I should explain before people get mad at me, I don't have an official mask. I'm making my own.
Oh, okay. I was going to tell, you know, good luck finding one if you wanted to try to buy one, even if they, you know, if you did feel they would help. And if I could find one, I'd be wearing one. What, I don't care what people say. To me, you can't be safe enough.
Usually it's just wrapping towels around my face, but everyone is doing, you know, all of that stuff. And then, have you guys had packages delivered to your house? And how does that feel?
I mean, yes, I have. But what are you going to do? Like,
I'm embarrassed to tell you. I put on my gloves. Uh-huh. I get all sorts of disinfected, and I'm spraying boxes. And everyone thought I was nuts, but then it came out today that there's 8 Amazon workers that tested positive for the coronavirus, and they say that the virus does live on the cardboard for a few days. So basically, I spray the boxes down, and you guys need to know something about me. Like, and you know, through my radio career, I've done really crazy stuff. I'm not a germaphobe by any stretch of the imagination, even though my last name is Hughes, as in Howard Hughes. But for some reason, with this thing, I'm overly paranoid. So I'll spray down the boxes, then I'll open up the boxes. Whatever in there, I'll spray those down, and then we're putting you know, the items in another room for a couple of days. That's how nuts I've gotten over this thing.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. I know that sounds ridiculous. Trust me, I know how it sounds.
I mean, better to be safe than sorry. So I can't totally judge it. I'm the only one leaving the house here. I'm, you know, doing curbside grocery pickup and then coming right back. You know, but at some point, it's like, if you're going to get it, you're going to get it, right? I don't know if I would be disinfecting cardboard, but hey, there you go.
Well, I don't know how old you guys are. Dan McNeil, you've been around a little longer, but did you ever go to a chicken pox party when you were growing up?
No. I'm 33. Yeah, I've never heard of such a thing.
I don't remember having a party for chicken pox. I had awful chicken pox, but...
Well, I'm older than you guys. So when I was growing up, you know, our parents wanted to get the chicken pox over with. Trust me, you throw this out to your listeners, they're going to go, yes, I'm one of those people too. And so you would find out who had chicken pox in the neighborhood, and your parents would send you over there for a play date to get the chicken pox. And then in my case, I have it depends, 6, 7, 8, you know, kids in my family. Then, you know, one of us comes home with the chicken pox and gives it to the rest of the family so we can get it out of the way.
Huh.
That's how we grew up.
Maybe that's Long Island.
No, I'm telling you. I will make a bet with you. You go to your phone, someone's going to go, yup, that happened to me. So my thought is, I wonder if we should have coronavirus parties and just get it over with if we're all going to get it.
We had a director of infectious disease on from a hospital earlier, so he had his suggestions, and then you have your coronavirus party suggestions. I just don't know who to trust here.
No, I don't want to get this. It's more of a whatever, but I don't know. You know, going back to the April Fool's prank, I do have to say, so you fast forward that happened in 98. You fast forward to around 20, I'm trying to remember, but 20, call it 17-ish. Mayor Menino came through SiriusXM. He was promoting a book. And I tried everything to get him on my show. I was doing a solo show at this point because I wanted to apologize to the guy. And all those years later, he said no. He said no. He didn't want anything to do with it.
Got to be honest, I kind of understand.
Yeah, you wouldn't accept an apology?
No, I would listen. I'm a radio guy. I understand what you were doing. But from his standpoint, if he gets a frantic call from his wife thinking it was dead, like I could, you know, I've held a grudge in my life too. Is all I'm saying.
Yeah, at the time I didn't think anyone was going to believe it either.
Yeah, well, power of the microphone. Opie, listen, man, we appreciated you trading some war stories with us. Good luck with the podcast, and hopefully you could go back to New York in less than a year, man. Thank you very much for the time.
Thanks, Opie.
All right, guys. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
We'll see you. You bet.
That's Opie of the old Opie and Anthony show. You can check out his Opie Radio podcast wherever podcasts are available.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.